crowd, but there's just so much beautiful green grass out the front that if the local area, if you're listening through your local FM, if you haven't been to a Cup Day, come and enjoy it, because there's just a beautiful setting here.
It's a wonderful setting. It really will be the place to be on Friday. Not only got some great racing action, but fashions on the field is tremendous. We have a band playing throughout the afternoon. We've just got a lot of things to keep people entertained. Obviously, the racing will take centre stage with the $150,000 Cup. But there's plenty of other things on offer as well.
Now, the girls will dress up for sure. You've got it all set up down here for the couple of days, but they've got to register on Cup Day by 1 p.m. So make sure you get here and register, ladies, by that time.
That's right. You can register on the day, so you just turn up and put your name in, and the more the merrier. So we always get big fields on the track, but even bigger ones for fashions on the field, and we expect that to be no exception tomorrow.
Yeah, for sure. It's a beautiful setting here. From where we are doing it up in the grandstand, looking down over the track. Mark Hart, I know, looks after the track and the facilities, and again, they're looking just fantastic.
Yeah, Mark is one of the best in the business. He's got a great team working with him, takes great pride in what he does, and the track gets looked after better than some children do in Wagga. He's very meticulous with what he does.
Has he slept here overnight?
He didn't sleep here overnight, not like country championship night, but he probably, I'd say, dreamt about the course all night. So he's here bright and early. He's always here till late as well. So I'm sure the track will be a credit to him. Terrific setting. We've got 56 hectares here, sort of nearly in the heart of Wagga. So we're extremely lucky to have the facilities that we do.
Yeah, let's hope so. Hawks Racing haven't made a final decision, but at this stage they're leaning towards bringing Messine down here for the Wagga Cup. I guess we'll get some news on that later in the day, given that they've got to get the horse on a float and get here. But that's what Michael has told me just prior to nine, that they're leaning towards here. Are you happy with the Cup lineup for tomorrow?
Yeah, I think the Cup lineup is as strong as it's been for a long time. Obviously, we'd love to have Messine here, so we really do hope he comes this way. But for Chris Wall to have a couple of runners, James coming to have a great chance. Also, it's great to see Peter Roble bring a horse back here. He's ridden a Wagga Cup winner. Wouldn't it be a great effort if he could train one as well?
Yeah, fantastic effort for sure. All right, so that's tomorrow. We've got our Wagga Town plate today. We've got a horse that is trying to win his third town plate. We've got just story after story with the Wagga Town plate, and then rolls into tomorrow. Looking forward to it all unfolding. Scott, we'll be back here tomorrow, mate. Thanks for your time.
That's wonderful. Thanks, Andrew.
Good on you, Scott. Scott Sandbrook, the CEO of the Murrumbidgee Turf Club. Just going through briefly, Saturday's racing at the Gold Coast, that track has gone to a soft six this morning. A couple of horses got out wide on the course proper, and everything's gone to plan. So a Gold Coast has improved to a soft six. Fine weather for the next couple of days. Volk Stock and Barrel got onto a grass track this morning at Doomben, and they'd been restricted all week, but it galloped on the grass. And Donna Logan said that while it worked up good, it did have a good blow, and it was a pity we didn't get the gallop on Tuesday for Volk Stock and Barrel heading towards that race on Saturday. Rose Hill back in Sydney, Lord Mayor's Cup Day there. I just want to give you the update here on track and the scratching situation for this program. And you wouldn't believe it, my master little computer here has gone into slow-mo, so I might not be able to do that given the Tab Talk is coming up. Here it is. Rose Hill is a good three. Fine weather back in Sydney, the rails at 3 metres. So a good three for Rose Hill. And at this stage, we've got Raining out of the feature running here, of course. Race 7, number 13 from Rose Hill on Saturday. That's it for Racing HQ. Hope we've helped you. Hope you're back. Plenty of winners today, whether it be here at Wagga, at Gosford, at Warrnambool. Stay tuned for Tab Talk. The early mail at 10:30 will also have all the winners.
It'll be a rugby league test match to remember between Lebanon and the Cook Islands at Belmore Sports Ground this Sunday. Lebanon are 2017 World Cup qualifiers, and while the Cook Islands narrowly missed out, both teams will be determined to stamp their superiority. There'll be activities for the kids, and you can meet some of your favourite NRL stars. Tickets available at the gate, $10 for adults, and a gold coin donation for kids under 16. So get along to Belmore Sports Ground on Sunday. Under 16s at 1, main game 3 p.m. Grab Saddle Up Sundays. Visit our most exciting regions, like the northwestern districts of New South Wales.
Gunnedah Jockey Club saddles up this Sunday. Come along and enjoy Gunnedah Cup Day. There's a free barbecue for the first 100 through the gate, along with fashions on the field and activities for the kids. Sky Sports Radio and Sky Thoroughbred Central have the mounting yard covered at Gunnedah this Sunday. Visit gocountryracing.com.au.
Have you put on a few extra kilos lately? You want to lose that belly? Get the Man Shake. Don't live at the gym or starve yourself. With Adam McDougall's The Man Shake, you can lose that beer gut without losing the beer. Like Tim, he's lost 9 kilos in just 4 weeks and has kept it off. That's the big thing. Buy 3 weeks of The Man Shake and score a free week. Hit manshake.com.au, manshake.com.au. Make sure you consult your GP before beginning any diet.
Whether you're building or renovating, before you decide on your choice of windows or doors, take a closer look
at Wideline's brand new website, where you'll find our UBeaut online quoting app.
Just upload your plans or tell us what you require and receive your free quote within 48 hours.
Even if it's only a few windows you need, we're here to help, no problems.
Wideline's quoting app is open 24 hours. You can even save your new quotes or edit old ones.
Time to take a closer look at Wideline Windows and Doors.
This Saturday, the Queensland and Adelaide Carnival step up a gear.
And Sky Sports Radio will be right there.
Josh Fleming and Bernadette Cooper will bring you all the action from the Gold Coast.
Then there's the Group 1 Robert Sangster Stakes from Moffatville.
And Ron Duffercy and Mike Fraser will do all the form for you for Rose Hill Gardens' Lord Mayor's Cup Race Day.
Get all the winners Saturday morning from 6:30.
On your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio.
Mum, have you heard of the Four Seasons?
Yes, Lano, you live there.
Mum, I'm inventing a new season.
What is it called, Lano?
Kitchen and laundry season, and it's on now at Bingley.
What happens in this season?
Well, in kitchen, we've got special bonus offers on the latest fridge designs, like French doors and side-by-sides.
And laundry?
Special offers on the latest combined washer-dryers, top-loaders and front-loaders.
That's our kitchen and laundry extravaganza.
I'm calling it a season.
You're a man for all seasons.
Check out the great kitchen and laundry deals on now at Bingley.
And there's a great deal more in store.
There are gates open, they're off and racing.
On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Talk.
One of the legends of the sport creates a little bit of magic at the mountain.
There it is! Adam Scott, a life changer.
It's the first time he's finished the MotoGP at Phillip Island. Mark Marquez does it in style down under.
With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to Tab Talk.
And good morning, Sean Cosco with you on tab.com.au. Jamie Rogers. Morning, Jamie.
Good morning, Cosby. How are you?
I am well. I'm just feeling for those who've got very big campaigns ahead of them and partially way through this week of the two-day carnival at Wagga, that, where the strong will survive there. They'll party on and into the final day at Warrnambool. There will be some perhaps won't even know they're there.
I know. It's such a great carnival down at Warrnambool, isn't it? I've been there once, probably about 5 years ago now, and it was fantastic.
And the town's still recovering too.
Yeah.
It just got back on its feet. Now we'll be looking through those and we'll have a chat with Matty Dale a bit later on. He's taking a lot of horses across from Canberra to Wagga. But Ben Dorris joining us now. Morning, Ben, for Courier Mail. How are you, mate?
G'day, guys. A little bit sleepy this morning for some reason. I just can't quite wake up. I don't know why, but anyway, we're here and we're ready to rumble for another week, eh?
I thought you'd be pumped, Ben. You tipped us all a big winner last week, up the upset of Cronulla and Brisbane.
Yeah, it had to happen sometime this century, didn't it?
True.
And we finally got one right.
It did. Well, we'll be waiting out for your best bet for this weekend. But let's start by taking a look at the rep round. We've got tomorrow night, Australia up against New Zealand. We've hardly taken a bet on the Kiwis at that $5.25. They are missing quite a few of those big names that we normally see for them. But, Ben, the last time the past three matches that these two teams have played, the Aussies have been the short favourites, and then the Kiwis go and upset them. Can you see this happening again?
It's a weird one, isn't it, guys, this game? I mean, I think it's completely lost sort of context and sort of meaningfulness, really. I mean, a lot of people sort of are trying to work out what this test is even sort of scheduled for these days. I mean, it sort of used to be the ANZAC test, of course. But look, a really interesting point for me with this game, guys, is I think Phil Gould made a salient point when he said that he was expecting the Australian team or the Australian squad pick for this pick for this test to be a lot younger, because it's a World Cup year next year. I mean, Australia is really trying to build towards that. Mm. So, look, it's full of old heads, I guess, this Australian squad. I think the reason Mel Meninga's done that is because it's his first gig, really, as Australian coach. I mean, he doesn't want to lose. He wants to, you know, get the old heads rolling and start off with a win. But, look, I mean, guys like Sam Thaiday and Corey Parker and what have you, like, terrific players. But, you know, they're really in the twilight of their careers. And are they going to be around for the World Cup next year? I'm not just so sure. So, look, I mean, leave me out of the betting for this game. Australia $1.18, they'll probably win, but I couldn't leap into them at those odds, given their recent history. But, yeah, I think most of the interest will just be, I guess, on how Mel Meninga's side fares, how he fares in his first hit out as Australian coach, and whether some of his old blokes have still got it.
Is he more intent on getting a win?
Yeah, exactly. So, look, it's a funny old round for punters, isn't it? I mean, this rep round, I mean, there's no NRL footy, and of course we've got the City Country game, which we'll talk about in a minute. But, yeah, I've got to say, from a betting point of view, it's just a bit hard to get your teeth into some of these games.
Mm, it really is, and as you just mentioned, so City Country is on Sunday. We've got City at their longest price they've ever been, which is at $2.85, and I don't think that's overly surprising. They're featuring 10 debutantes, but the real debate this week has been how players are dropping out. But I guess, can you see possibly they're an inexperienced side with nothing to lose? At that $2.85, could they pose a danger?
Yeah, absolutely, Jamie, they could. I mean, look, Brad Fittler's filthy. He's had to pick 10 rookies because all these blokes have gone down sick and handed in sick notes. But look, this game's really, I mean, the country's definitely got the better side on paper, but it's a toss of the coin game in some ways in that, you know, again, no one really knows what this game sort of stands for. I mean, it used to have a bit of flavour, this game. A lot of people used to cheer on country, you know, the old theme of the battlers from the country versus the blue buds from city, but that doesn't really sort of stand for that much anymore. And guys, can someone please explain to me? I'm completely confused. I thought this was meant to be the first sort of rep footy trial of the year.
Mm.
Yet we've already got a test side. I mean, I can't work out what's going on.
This is the backup one.
I know this holds some interest, this game, in New South Wales in terms of origin selections and what have you, and there's a few Blues hopefuls like James Maloney and Jack Bird and Tyson Frizzell who want to put their hands up. But I've got to say, it doesn't have much interest for me. It doesn't have any interest for anyone in Queensland. And I've got to say, probably large portions in New South Wales are probably working out what the hell's going on too.
Yeah, I think you're right there, Ben. Well, let's swap codes now because there is the full round of AFL. They're not featuring their rep round like we are in the NRL. Let's look at tomorrow night where Richmond, they've now lost 5 games in a row and they're up against the Hawthorn side who I reckon have been a little bit off their game. At $6.50 for Richmond, do you reckon there's any chance that they could come here and snap their losing streak?
Well, look, I think there's some chance, Jamie. I really do. But the interesting thing here is there's two theories about the Hawks. One is that they're really, really struggling. They're struggling to kick goals. They got flogged by GWS last week, and they're really battling, and they're on a downhill spiral. That's one theory. Mm. The other theory is that the Hawks have had a few sleepy weeks. They're just sort of plodding along, and like good sides do, they'll just go kapow at the right end of the season. Mm. So, look, I've got to say, I'm probably in the first boat. I think they're struggling. Of course, their season obviously will get better with Jared Roughhead coming back down the track, and they can't possibly, you know, go as bad as they did last week. But look, I think this is some sort of a danger game for Hawthorn, and I think Richmond are the sort of side. I mean, they've been atrocious, haven't they?
Yes.
But just when you think they're completely gone, Richmond, and just when the bookies give them absolutely no chance, they do something. And of course, Hawthorn have lost Luke Hodge for this game as well. So I think there's $6.50 Richmond. Look, probably can't get over the line, but I wouldn't be surprised. In fact, I think they will cover the line, 42.5 start I think they've got. So I think this will be a closer game than people are probably anticipating.
Strong mail that Travis Cloak could finish up at Richmond next year, gone from Collingwood.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, my wife's a Collingwood supporter, and I've got to say, there's been some ordinary times in this household alone.
Oh, dear.
I mean, Travis Cloak, I've got to say, I'm just not convinced about him. I mean, for starters, he seems to go missing for sort of large periods of games. Of course, he was dropped recently and whatever. But secondly, I mean, he can't kick straight. I mean,
he's a great mark, but that's it.
To be able to kick goals, I mean, he just can't kick straight, guys. So, look, I'm not exactly sure where his headspace is, and probably change is as good as a holiday. And if he ended up in another club, it'd probably do him the world of good, and it'd probably do Collingwood the world of good.
Well, I reckon if Collingwood get beaten by Carlton, Bucks. Ooh, there could be the prayer meeting coming.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, there won't be much love in this house for about 3 weeks. Carlton, Mrs. Lane, talk to me. Look, I think Collingwood will probably get the job done there. Look, there's a few interesting games that are toss of the coin games in the AFL this week. Gold Coast and Melbourne, I mean, I think they're last betting I saw, they were $1.90 each or two.
Yep.
Same with the Western Bulldogs and Adelaide, $1.90 each or two. So I think if you like any of those sides, if you think Melbourne are better than they showed last week, or the Gold Coast for that matter, that you are getting some value on those sides. So it'd be just interesting to watch the betting movement in those games, guys.
GWS against Freo is going to be interesting, because Freo have just begun the season atrociously.
Yeah, well, I thought Freo would be 50-1 to win this game, given the form that they showed. $3.55. I mean, I couldn't back them with stolen money, could you guys? I mean, they're just going terribly. And GWS, I mean, they're so exciting, aren't they? And all give me out of what Eddie McGuire's been carrying on and some of these other club presidents about GWS have had it too easy. I mean, what do you expect? You're setting up a club from scratch. I mean, in Western Sydney, if you don't mind, which isn't, an AFL area by any means. I mean, of course they need, a few benefits and a bit of a kick along to get started. So, look, I'm all for GWS. I really hope they keep kicking goals. And look, who says they can't win the premiership? I know there's some good judges on Fox Footy. David King, who thinks they can win the premiership this year. I'm probably not quite in that boat. I think they probably need another year or two of just, getting some more games with those young guys and just, really knowing that they can do it at the business end of the season. But they're certainly excited. And I've got to say, like, 2 years ago, who would have thought that GWS would sort of go out a $1.30 favourites against anyone, let alone against Fremantle. So, it's interesting times down there.
Well, Ben, before we let you go, you've got to give us your best for the weekend.
Yeah, look, my best is a bit of a double-prong one, Jamie. I think, as we said before, I think Richmond will get within 42.5 points of the Hawks. I think that's a nice little bet. I just sort of think the Hawks are sort of plotting. I'm expecting better from them. Mm-hmm. But they are without Luke Hodge. I think Richmond can get within that. And I also think the Brisbane Lions, against Port Adelaide, they're getting 23.5 points start against Port. And I think the Lions have been a bit better than people have given them the credit for. They almost rolled Sydney last week. They were a bit unlucky not to. And Port are starting to show a bit of form, but they've been plotting for most of the season. So I think Richmond can get close to Hawthorn, and I think definitely the Brisbane Lions can get close to, if not beat, Port Adelaide.
All right. Well, we wish you all the best, Ben.
Yeah, good on you guys. Good talking, as always.
Thanks, Ben.
And for your marital relationship, let's hope Collingwood wins.
You cross your fingers and your toes, guys.
Right.
Oh, we will. Thanks, Ben.
See you, Ben.
See
you. If he comes on next week, Jamie's like, "Oh, you're talking like that." Well, no. Collingwood have got rolled. His wife's level one at him.
I know. It'll be an interesting game, won't it?
It will be. Now, they're at the boxes, Cambridge. We'll go there in a moment. But we will say good day to Matty Dale. He's off from Canberra to Wagga for 2 days there. Morning, Matt. How are you?
Morning, Sean. Very well. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. You've got some nice funners there today. Decoded. You've got in the first. You pulled the winkers off this one.
Yeah, we just sort of toyed with them at the end of last preparation, and I didn't think they suited him, so he's come back and just pulled the gear off him and looking for him to improve off a break.
How do you think he'll go today?
Look, I think he's going to step out further in trip in time, but he's had one jump out. He's still got a bit of freshness in his legs and looks to get a nice run just in behind the speed today and should be right in the finish.
Right, now Zoltar, you've removed gear there too. Blinkers off Zoltar, the toppy in the second.
That's right. First run for the stable and just took the gear off him. I toyed with some earmuffs with him. He's quite a highly strung big son of Zabil and toyed with earmuffs and trialled him in them. Thought he trialled a little bit one paced. So he's back to, just no gear and 1,400 first up where he'll just roll along in a good rhythm, and I think all things being equal, it'll be hard to beat.
All right. Now, what we might do, Matt, get you to hold just for one sec. We've got a greyhound race here in New Zealand, race two at Cambridge, and they're loading.
Second line, Olivia mid-collision, Fashion's Fancy Highway Hound, off for the outside. We're ready. Race two, the Affordable Pet Accessory, is starting to roll it forward. Set. And we're away. Oh, a few stragglers here. Slow away was Olivia, mid-collision, and also Fashion's Fancy. Early speed out by the track. There we go to Willie Gassett. Inside there is Olivia trying to whip the outsiders. Thrilling Flow. Followed a length or two back there now by mid-collision. Gap in the field there. Black Roadster followed round by Fashion's Fancy. Long way back there is Highway Hound. And last of all, Semi-Automatic. Up they come, and Olivia away, the little girl. Olivia home nicely. Beats the fave, Thrilling Flow. Then we get back then out of mid-collision. That got home all right, Willie Gassett. in behind runners there was Black Roadster out wide of their Fashion's Fancy. Tail of the field, there would have been Highway Hound and Semi-Automatic.
Now the numbers will be 2.7 and 4.2. Olivia will pay 3 even 160. 7 Thrilling Flow 104. 4 Mid Collision 240. We're having a chat with Matthew Dale. Matt, I noticed in the next race, the fourth, you're an imitation game in. I see one of the part owners is your good self, so you'll be hoping for this to do something.
Yeah, look, I think today is probably more about the experience for him than anything else. He's had a jump out at home, and then he had a trial the other day at Goulburn, where he's just a little bit raw, but he's drawn softly, and we're able to get Kieran McAvoy to ride him, and I think he'll get a lot out of today. It looks like a decent race on paper. There's a couple of horses that are quite seasoned, so just look for him to take a drop off the back of the speed and show some positive signs for the future.
All right. Now, you've got Itchy Zaruz in race number six. It's had, according to the way I look at the form, 9 runs his prep and 1 its last start. It's just tough.
Well, he's been very consistent, and his last win was probably his best win of his career. He really ran through the line, and he tweaked his routine a little bit at home, and he's freshened right up over the last few weeks and ran, and that was the result, him winning like that off the back of that freshen. So we've kept with that theory and kept him sharp and just keeping him fresh mentally, and looking for a similar result today where he'll roll along up on speed and be awfully hard to beat.
Now, unanimously, you've got on the Wagga Town Plate, you've taken the earmuffs off this bloke to fire it up a bit?
Yeah, look, he's raced well over the last 12 months with the earmuff blinker combination, and just thought today was the day. He's an 8-year-old now, and today was the day third up to take the earmuffs off and just sort of put a bit more spring in his step. It's going to be quite a fast-run Town Plate this year, and I think that he'll look to get a drop just in behind a couple of really speedy horses like Pretty Possum and get his chance to hopefully win 3 Town Plate.
That'd be absolutely fantastic effort. Now, the 8th, Jamie, this would be one you should have something on. Martini Girl, Maddie's got in here.
Yes, $3.50.
Yeah, well, she's only a little filly by Schnitzel. Just starting to get her sort of a bit of confidence up. I thought her win at her first start in the race was good. She was a little bit vulnerable that day. Still having a good look around. And then last start, when we put the winkers on her for the first time, she really brought it up a notch and was narrowly beaten by Ziganui, and who's quite a nice horse at Keith Dryden's. And we made it a little bit better at the weights today, and she has come on well, so she'll be right in the finish, that filly.
Now, what's the best for today and tomorrow, including the few you get in tomorrow, Matt? What can we anchor our wagon to here?
Well, I think I've just got really good chances, as we've just gone through. You know, they're right in the market, and with a bit of luck, they're going to get their chance. So I don't think there's a standout, but if I had to pick one race I'd love to win, obviously, to be the Town Plate out of all of them. But got a lot of good chances, and with even luck, we should be able to boot on a couple of winners.
All right, and just finally, Fell Swoop pulled up the other day, and pulled up well?
Yeah, look, he's come through. He's run really well. He felt the heat a little bit that day, coming out of a Canberra cooling climate into what was quite humid conditions in Brisbane. Felt the heat a little bit on the day, but he's bounced through it really well, and he's settled in now that he's been able to acclimatise, and he's back on top, and looking forward to next week.
Good on you. Good luck today, Matt, and all the best.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot, Matt. Matthew Dale there. Jamie's got some nice chances there today, and Brad Rosen about to join you now.
Yeah, he really does have some good runners today, but Brad will get on just to talk about the NBA playoffs, which are in full swing.
He's with you now. Morning, Brad. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hi, Brad. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you going?
Very well. Well, let's start off with Cleveland up against Atlanta. They're currently at the moment Atlanta 16, Cleveland 27. Now, the Hawks, they've lost 8 straight games against Cleveland going back to the conference finals last year. Do you reckon the key for them to be able to take out this series is focusing on just letting LeBron go, do his own thing, get his 25 points, but then stop the other players like Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love from scoring?
You know, that's a great question and something that gets asked a lot. And the answer is there is a theory that can happen. But LeBron James, being such a good player, it's not like he's just a scorer and that's it.
Mm.
So the problem that they do have is if they try and do that, LeBron could go for 50. But then if they say, well, let's try and just let him, he's so tough that he makes his players better around him. The only chance Cleveland has is if he goes on holiday.
Yeah.
The only chance they are going to win.
Yeah, no, I completely am with you there. And in terms of the series winner, Cleveland's like $1.08 to do the best of seven. So, but let's have a look.
Yeah, look, it's just not going to happen. Atlanta didn't really do really well in their previous game. You know, they squeezed through. They won the series, but they're not going to be good enough to beat Cleveland.
What about in the OKC Spurs game? So we saw in game two, it ended quite controversial. And I've got to say, the point guards for the Spurs in Patty Mills and Tony Parker really let their side down. They only had 5 for 18 from the field combined. Surely that's something that's got to be improved if they're going to win game three.
Yeah, look, they need production from their point guards. And you know, it's nice to be able to talk about Patty Mills, that he needs to produce so they can win. That's a great, you know, example of how good he is as a player. Not just, well, he's in the team. So, you know, congratulations to him and Abuma coming up this year at the Rio. But look, they need some points from their guards. I know there was a huge issue at the end of game two, and look, it should have been San Antonio's ball. Yeah. But look, as Coach Pop said, you know, they made a lot of mistakes during the game. It's not San Antonio's ball. They'll get back. I do think OKC have not got enough to beat San Antonio, but this is going to go 6 or 7. It's going to be an amazing series.
Do you reckon for game three, if OKC can just come out firing and get a great start like what they did in game two and contain LaMarcus Aldridge, who's just been incredible, that's how they might be able to stand a chance of taking it out?
No doubt. That's exactly what they've got to do. You are playing a great veteran. San Antonio are a fantastic team. They have got the greatest coach, theoretically, could be say, in history. I know there's Phil Jackson in that, but he is just unbelievable the way Popovich goes. Yes, LaMarcus Aldridge is unstoppable at the moment. But you can't keep good players down. There's no way these, you know, veterans are going to keep going. Yes, they need to come out like that. But I do see San Antonio stealing one on the road, and they'll win it in six.
And looking at the current semi-finals at the moment, who do you think is the team that will take it out this year?
I think it's going to be Golden State, Cleveland in the final yet again. And I think that's where it's going to go. I can't see Golden State losing. And the reason I say this is who can beat them four times. That's really all I'm bringing it down to. You've got to beat someone four times to win that series. And I just don't know if anyone can. The only thing I will put to that is there is injury clouds over Steph Curry. He isn't meant to be playing the next game. If he is not playing, that brings it way back. I know Klay Thompson's been playing great. Andrew Bogut's been phenomenal. Draymond Green, they're all good. But I just don't know if they've got enough to beat Cleveland in a 7-game series without their superstar in Big 2.
Yeah, that was actually going to be one of the questions that I was going to ask you. But it was actually an interesting game yesterday because it seemed Golden State usually makes all the headlines because of their offense, but I felt as though they won game two yesterday because of their defense.
They did. And that's what's such a good sign of a team is when your superstar goes down, and we're talking of an MVP. I mean, this guy was MVP last year, and he was talked about being the most improved player this year. When have you ever heard that? An MVP is the best improved. So he's going to be MVP again this year. Very amazing that a guy can be that good. He picked out, they still win the series, and they're one up. So amazing stuff. Their defense just went to another level. They are extremely well coached. They're a fantastic team to watch.
Another in the other series is Toronto up against Miami. I know Toronto, they don't have a great first game playoff winning record anyway, and then if you throw in there some nerves because they finally made it through to the second round of the playoffs, do you reckon there any chance of bouncing back and getting game two?
Oh, look, they'll win a game. I don't know what it is with Toronto. You're right, it just seems like they play nervous. They are really good throughout the season. They do everything right, and then when they get to the postseason, they can't get over the line. You're coming up against the Miami team who have won two championships. I know LeBron James has left. They were in the finals for 4 years in a row. So I know, again, LeBron is gone. But they've still got Dwayne Wade. They've still got some very good players. And just coming down the stretch, if Miami keep it close, they're going to win the game. Now, for Toronto, they need to come out and play for 48 minutes. And that's something that they just haven't done constantly in the playoffs. I don't see them winning the series. They'll win one or two games, but I do see Miami in 5 or 6.
I heard today how Chris Bosh won't be playing at all for the remainder of the playoffs. Do you think that he'll retire now?
Depends. Do you want 20 million next year? So, exactly. I'm sure he won't want to retire, but obviously health plays a huge part with that. It's hard for me to comment because there's not a whole lot coming out. All of you know, his health, and he can't say where he is and blah, blah, but I think he'll play on because I think he's got that passion. No one wants to go out. Chris Bosh is a very good player. No one wants to go out in the way that theoretically happened. Yeah. I think he'll be back, but I just don't see him being the dominant force that he was and, you know, moving forward, how ironic would it be Cleveland to play Miami in the playoffs of the Western, Eastern Conference Finals? LeBron's two teams, unbelievable.
And before, I just wanted to get your thoughts. It's been something that's been spoken about quite a bit on ESPN this week that I've noticed about Luke Walton taking over the Lakers' job. What's your opinion on this?
Fantastic sign.
Yeah.
Luke did a great job when Golden State were out. But let's not you know, make him the head coach of that. He did an amazing job for those, I think it was 20, 30 games, whatever it was. Mm. He's unbelievable for San Antonio, Golden State, but, you know, also, he was taking over a team that was that won the championship last year and got the best player in the league. So now he's going to take over a Lakers team that, you know, has been awful. They've lost their superstar in Kobe Bryant. I think it's an outstanding signing. He is a very astute brain of the game. Obviously, his father was unbelievable. Luke himself played for the Lakers, won championships. So I think it's a great signing, but they really need to pick up some players. My hope for him is I hope they get the first-round pick and they take Ben Simmons, the Australian, and I think that would be great for him and for the sport.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
Ben, great to catch up, mate. We appreciate your time as always, and we'll talk to you next week probably.
Thanks, Brad.
Love it. Go those NBA. Love the playoffs.
Me too. It's a fantastic time.
I'm going to go and watch the rest of the game.
Yes, me too. Bye.
Good on you. Bye.
See you, Brad. Brad Rosen joining us there. Right on 10:30. Jamie, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me. It's definitely a big day of sport with the NBA playoffs underway and another big weekend ahead.
Yeah, too right. We'll talk to you soon.
I'll see you soon.
Okay,
bye.
Jamie Rogers there, tab.com.au, 10:30. Sky Sports Radio.
A huge jackpot has landed. This Saturday, there's a $50,000 Big Six jackpot at Rosehill Gardens. That's right, a $50,000 Big Six jackpot at Rosehill Gardens. First leg is race 4 at 125. Plus, this Sunday, there's a $10,000 Big Six jackpot on the Saddle Up Sunday meeting at Gunnedah. So get your mates together and have a crack at your local tab, tab.com.au, or on your mobile. Gamble responsibly.
Dynamic Syndications and Gay Waterhouse offer a cult of the highest quality. Stand out from the crowd with our good-looking grey, trained by Gay. Our cult's by Fastnet Rock, from a family boasting 10 champions, 13 stallions, 66 stakes winners, including 9 Group 1 winners. Race the best with the best. Join us in this attention-grabbing cult.